hello, and thank you so much for coming to my show, YY, and I really appreciate that. Now, a little bit about my program. So my program is called as Between Meals. So Between Meals is a program that celebrates food, culture, and its ability to touch the lives and feed the souls of everyone. And I'm your host, Renu. And each month, we will invite a guest, Wahini, to Planet FM to share their journey of migration and passion for culinary delights. So let's start with you. So YY, let's start with you by asking your name. So is it YY or do you have a full name?
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Renu. Actually, YY is the initial of my Chinese name. Mm-hmm. My full name is Ye Yim Tan.
Oh, beautiful. So let me get that right again. Yim?
Ye Yim Tan.
Ye Yim Tan.
Tan is the surname.
Surname.
Yes.
Beautiful name. Is there a meaning for that? Does it mean something?
Yeah, actually, it comes origin from a Chinese name, mm-hmm. Whereby it means jade and brave. That's
wow.
That's the name that my mom gave me.
Beautiful. And you are brave, YY, isn't it?
Yes.
You are brave.
I try.
Yes. So where are you originally from? So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, okay. Actually, I was born in Malaysia. We are the third generation of Chinese immigrants to Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I grew up in Malaysia, and the urge and the desire to travel overseas actually originated from a lot of tourists coming to Malaysia.
Sure.
And from there, I felt that probably it's also good for me to go to other countries.
Of course, yeah. I believe Malaysia is quite a tourist destination. Yes.
Yes, and it's a very multicultural country,
yes.
And we have actually lots of visitors from all over the world.
World, yes. I've got a couple of friends in Malaysia. Yes,
yeah.
It's beautiful. So, when did you exactly decide to arrive to New Zealand? When did you arrive?
Yeah, actually, I came. My first visit to Malaysia, to New Zealand, was in 1996. To visit my sister. I fell in love with the place because of the traffic. And
the traffic.
It was like, as compared with Malaysia, it's really good traffic here.
Yes.
And I came with my son, and he really enjoyed the weather here. So I went back, told my husband, Nick, that probably it's time for us to travel overseas. And we actually applied for the immigration approval before we come to live permanently in 1999.
Yes. So you came straight away on permanent residency?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
I don't want to take the risk of bringing my three children with us.
Of course.
And then, you know, go through all the hassles of
visa and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Fair enough. So you all came together as a family?
Actually, I joined Nick 1 year later.
Okay.
Yeah, he needs to settle down, and I need to actually settle all the business back in Malaysia before I come over.
Sure. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. And if I may ask, is there a particular reason why you decided to move to this beautiful land of White Cloud?
Oh, yes. The reason why we came was actually more for the children's education and also to move away from the so-called rat race in Malaysia.
Malaysia.
It's a very competitive place, as you know, in Asia.
It is.
And we find that by coming to New Zealand, we would have more time to spend with my three kids.
As compared back.
Yes,
home,
back home, we go back home at, say, 11 o'clock in the night, and kids are asleep, and, you know, it's a very hectic lifestyle
back there. Yeah, just like India here.
Hmm.
Yeah, so you think you made a good choice by coming here to...
So far, we have no regret coming.
Yeah,
and my kids love it here, and to the extent that they find it too hot to go back to Malaysia. The weather's just too hot for them.
Okay,
yeah.
Unlike... New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We actually, they go back sometimes because of the food.
Oh,
still
yes.
Love
of course.
Malaysian food.
They still miss their Malaysian food.
Yeah, that's right.
That's going to be my next question. But before I move on to food, because as you know, I've started my own non-profit social enterprise, which is called as Our Stories on Plate. And so I try and connect people through food stories.
Yeah.
But before we move on to your favorite food, I'd like to ask you, what were some of the challenges that you have faced when you first migrated to New Zealand?
The first challenges, I would say, is at my place of work, the confidence in speaking a foreign language. Obviously, English is not our first language, but then back in Malaysia, we actually study English for, sure, say, 15, 16 years. But when I came, it was quite a shock to me to actually truly understand English. And it's just like relearning.
Yes.
Yeah, writing is not a problem when it comes to conversation.
Speaking.
Especially over the phone. Mm-hmm. Those days, like 19 years ago, we'd expect the office phone to ring.
Yes.
And that's where the shock comes in, yeah, when the person on the other side of the line,
yeah,
tell you that I don't really understand you, you,
yes,
know, things like that. Yeah.
It can be quite, you know, sometimes, like I know a lot of my friends who have migrated here had the similar problem like yours. English, mm-hmm, is a second language, and
yes,
they would get nervous, you know, when suddenly the phone rings from the office or some interview call comes in, and they,
yeah,
would definitely get nervous. But how do you feel now, 19 years later? Do you feel...
No, 19 years later now, I'm
of
fine.
Of course, you're fine.
Yeah,
absolutely,
fine,
yes.
Yeah. It's a big learning curve.
It's a big learning,
yeah,
curve, yes.
Yes.
Well done. So how about we take a little break and just listen to your favorite music, YY?
Yes.
And we'll come back.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone. But they're back again, just like a long lost friend. All the songs I love so well. Every sha-la-la-la, every whoa-whoa still shines. Every it's yesterday once more. Yesterday once more. Every sha-la-la-la, every woe-woe still shines. Every shingling-a-ling that the start to sing so
you know, why, thank you. That was a beautiful music. I actually quite love the diversity that immigration brings with it. And so my next question is, How do you see this country and its people?
From my own experience, I find that over the last 19 years, there are more and more people coming from different countries. Mm-hmm. And it actually provides an opportunity for us to mix and mingle and to understand other culture as well.
Sure.
And what brings with the culture is also the food. So, for example, at work, we organize an international food day whereby everyone brings something from their own country to share.
Of course.
And it's such a
beautiful
experience for everybody.
Yeah.
And we also encourage each to sort of share the recipe as well, to see how well we can as a different culture to actually learn and cook another type of food apart from what we are.
It's
cooking.
Interesting. Food just connects people.
Yes.
No matter where you are, any conversation, any informal conversation just starts with food, you know, whether it's your colleague or your friend or your family, you know.
Yes.
So that's beautiful.
And it's a good icebreaker as well.
Oh, yes. It is indeed. And so that brings me to my next question, Waiwai. What is your favorite food?
Actually, I'm a food lover. I love every type of food.
I can see that, yeah. But talks of it, yeah.
Yes, and coming from Malaysia, I do have quite a few favorite dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly it's curry and spicy food.
Oh, yes, curry. It's gold curry.
Yes, the Malaysian curry. Malaysia. And I find that it has become more popular now. And we have the noodle version as well, where we call it the laksa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
what's the difference between a Malaysian curry and the, supposing like I'm Indian, so Indian curry? Is there a difference? Is there a major difference between the curries?
Yeah.
Or how you make it?
The one I notice is the spices. Mm-hmm. And for Malaysian curry, we use a lot of lemongrass.
Oh, I see.
And coconut milk.
Right.
And I don't think you use quite a bit of that in the Indian curry.
Yeah. India, again, has like North India and South India. And I'm North Indian. So North Indians don't use coconut. But South Indians, I think, use a lot of coconut in their cooking. Yes. So something you have resemblance to them as well.
Yes, that's right. Because most of the Indian in Malaysia, they are mostly South Indian.
Mm-hmm.
So we can relate more to that
more
and
to
the roti,
that.
Paratha and things that come along.
So you also make rotis and parathas? And
I don't make, but I eat.
But you eat. Yes, so who cooks?
My husband.
Your husband. Yeah. Lucky you.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
You are, yes.
Yes.
So tell me some food story, Waiwai. I mean, as you said, curry is your favorite food. Was there any problem when you came here initially to New Zealand and like for me, certain ingredients which I wanted in my food, I really couldn't compromise on those ingredients, you know. So I had to have those ingredients.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I had to find some alternates, you know, to them. Do you feel you had to do the similar thing? Like you didn't find the authentic ingredients here and you had to swap it with some other ingredients, some kiwi ingredients or something?
In the initial stage, what we actually struggled with was the lemongrass.
Okay.
So it's like such a precious thing, and unfortunately we can't bring any plant into the country
no.
So when I used to go back like every year to Malaysia, and each time I'll bring all these ingredients with me, like the curry powder and you know those dried
spices.
Yeah. But now, actually, basically, you can get everything here,
everything
including those frozen lemongrass as well.
As well, yes.
Yeah. So it wasn't much of a big issue for me because I'm not the main chef at home. My husband is.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Yes, my husband is the main chef.
He's the main chef, and he actually is quite good. He's quite good in substituting all those ingredients
as well.
Yes.
But does it taste the same? Like
slightly different.
Different.
That's why sometimes we do miss food back in Malaysia, and that's the reason for the trip to go back every year.
Yeah. Of course. Fair enough. Yes.
Yes.
So, why? Tell me one thing, you know, what difference do you find in New Zealand and back in Malaysia, your home country? What lifestyle changes? Do you find any difference in the lifestyle changes in the two countries?
There's some major changes.
What are those?
In terms of family or household, back in Malaysia, I have the luxury of having domestic help. So I don't really have to wash my kids, do laundry and cleaning.
And you find we don't have that luxury here, do we?
We totally
have to do everything yourself.
We totally lose that luxury.
Luxury, yes.
And it's actually, it took me a very long time because just to get used to that,
yes.
And probably the transition time took me more than 6 months.
Yeah.
And 3 months in the country, I started work. And it's like a full-time job, full-time mom, school-going kids.
Yeah.
It's just too much to
everything
the extent.
By yourself, yes.
Yeah, just to the extent, like come 9 months, I was just almost ready to pack and go.
Exhausted.
Go back. Yeah, because my father was back in Malaysia and he wasn't very well. And that's the time where I really felt that the homesickness. I really feel homesick.
Start missing home, yeah.
Missing home, and you know, the excitement about immigration has sort of gone off the roof.
Yes.
But then again, because I uprooted my kids, and I've got quite a good job as well, even though it's not a very...
I was about to ask you, what's your job? What do you do?
Currently, I'm working as an office administrator with the University of Auckland.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I've been there for 12 years.
Wow.
But prior to that, I worked for a private firm.
And are you enjoying it?
Yes. Yeah, wonderful. It's a good place.
Place.
Yeah, I mean, and in terms of job here, it's quite different back from Malaysia, because back in Malaysia, you're expected to work very long hours.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, we do have the luxury of time to spend with kids after work.
After hours. And plus you have weekends as well.
And weekends. And yeah.
I don't know about Malaysia, but Sunday, India, we have only Sunday. We don't have Saturdays off.
Yeah.
So we have that luxury of having Saturday and Sunday off here. Do you, I don't know. How does it work in Malaysia? Do you have Saturdays off in Malaysia?
Before I came, I ran a business in Malaysia.
Oh.
So I actually have that flexible time as well.
Yes.
But then again, running your own business has
its own
ups and downs,
pros and cons,
pros and cons,
yes.
Whereby you really have to work the extra hours.
Yes.
Yeah, so what I really enjoy most here is I'm able to spend more time with my kids as they were growing up, like taking them to music lessons and swimming lessons.
So how many kids do you have, by the way?
I have three.
They have three kids, okay.
They're all grown up now, yeah.
So they're not kids anymore, are they?
No, they're not, yeah.
Yes, okay. Right. And your kids are loving it?
Yes. It's home to them here.
It's home to them here, of course.
Yeah, it's home to them. Yeah.
So you are the first generation immigrant, is it? Or is there someone else before you?
No, I've got two sisters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one came before me, but both of them went back to Malaysia for good.
Okay.
It's more like retirement for them in Malaysia.
Sure. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
So my next question, and this is something, you know, this next question of mine relates to our culture and our identity and who we are, you know. So I just wanted to ask you that. Do you think it is important to sustain your culture and your language and your food? And how important it is to pass it on to your own kids as well, since we are living in a Western country?
Yes. I remember it was deeply ingrained in me when I went to see... there's a parent-teacher interview
My
kids
were... I'm a teacher, so I can talk about that.
yeah.
Yes, that's parent-teacher interviews, yes.
Yes, and I was very new to that. And the first thing that my son's teacher told me is, don't lose the mother's tongue. So, in other words, he said, just make sure that we actually encourage our kids to speak our own language.
Yes,
and we find that it's such an advantage to them now, because we continue to speak Chinese to them at home, our own language. Initially, they rejected it because at school they were influenced by other friends, and after one term, they started speaking English at home, and we were so worried that they would lose
the language.
The language.
And identity, yes.
Yes, and we actually got hold of a Chinese teacher. He's from mainland Chinese, mainland China. And actually, we've been having tuition, Chinese tuition with them.
Oh, so you had tutoring, okay.
Tutoring with them, and they're doing very well. And
wonderful.
Now the Chinese is better than me now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lucky you, because my children have lost the language, and they came here when they were very young. So, yes, so they can't speak, and they can't read and write in that. So,
And my experience is I've also seen many friends where the kids, they don't actually speak their mother's tongue. And I would say that it's actually a very big effort on my husband and myself to really sustain that for them, to the extent now they actually correct my English.
Wow. And then, I mean, it's important to maintain and to maintain your roots, you know, and to remember that where you come from, you know.
Yes.
So I think it's very important for all of us to remember where we come from.
Yeah.
Never lose, you know, touch with our roots. So,
For my kids, actually, I think it's quite a bit tricky for them because, like, originally we are not from China, but we look Chinese because we are, like, third generation Chinese.
Yes.
And most of the people here identify us as Chinese, but actually we are not.
Not, yes. Yeah, and there's a confusion around that. A lot of people get confused and mixed up.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. And the food we eat is quite different as well.
Yes.
Yeah. But then again, my kids actually, because we cook a lot of Malaysian food at home, my kids love Malaysian food and Asian food as well.
And do they get involved with the cooking part of it as well?
Not really. Yeah, but there are certain recipes which they really want us to pass down to them. And that's where they actually, you know, they take down the recipes and try to learn so that when mom and dad are not around they can be sustained. Food that they love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there I know the time is running by, but just a quick recipe, anything you would like to share with us of your any favorite food? I know you have lots of favorite foods, but just a quick recipe of any of your favorite food from your culture?
The easy one. Yes. I usually cook the easy one, and the complicated one, I'll leave it to my husband.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yes.
Easy one. Okay, so let's go for easy one.
The easy one that I love is...
I call it shortcut, yes.
Yeah, the Malaysian curry.
Okay.
So what we can do is, this is something that he strongly oppose, but when he's not at home or when he's traveling, I'll just get those ready mix pack.
Oh, okay. That's your easy.
Easy. Put everything there. Follow the, because actually it tastes almost the same, but for him being really picky in ingredients, he doesn't like it that much. So when I tried that and serve it to my kids, I said, Mom, actually that tastes quite good as well.
Oh.
So we get all the ready pack ingredients.
Yes.
So put it in a pot of water and just follow the instruction. The most important thing is...
So what recipe are we talking about? Is it a vegetable or what?
Malaysian curry chicken.
So it's called chicken Malaysian curry. Okay.
Malaysian curry chicken.
Yeah. And so you get ready-made packets.
Yes, you can get it in Taiping, you know, Taiping. The local Chinese
what
shop.
Is it called?
Malaysian curry. It comes in a pack. Yeah.
So instead of grinding and starting from scratch, you just use the ready-made packs and that's your easy...
That's my easy
curry.
Way to do it.
I like it. Saves time, yes. Especially when you're coming back from work after hours and you
use quite a bit of that, and I used to buy the bring it with me when I came back.
Yeah.
But now it's actually readily available.
Available, yes.
Yeah.
That saves time.
Yes.
All right. So, Richard, you know, from Planet FM, he'd like to know, what's the recipe, what's the secret behind Malaysian satay? If you can share that recipe with us, please, for Richard.
Oh, okay, sure. It's not a very difficult dish to make.
You hear that, Richard? It's not difficult.
And it's actually available readily anywhere in Malaysia. But to simplify that,
Richard is taking some notes there.
Yes. We'll just do a simple version of that. Is to marinate, is to cut, let's say you're using chicken, to cut the chicken into equal size,
bite size.
Sure. And marinate it, firstly, with a little bit of sugar and a little bit of salt.
So sugar, are you using brown sugar or just a normal white sugar?
Just a normal white sugar, yeah. And then we put in the ingredients.
Sure.
It would be nice to have those crushed lemongrass.
Lemongrass.
You can actually get the frozen one.
Frozen ones,
from the supermarket. Then after that, you put in some oil.
Sesame oil or any particular oil?
Just any oil.
Any oil.
Cooking oil.
Okay.
Yeah, some curry powder.
Sure.
And turmeric powder.
Yeah.
Turmeric powder. And just let it marinate for at least 1 hour.
1 hour.
Yeah. Then after that, you use the skewer.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the...
Skewers.
Okay. And
Can you marinate it overnight as well? Leave it? No. Or is it too much?
Put it in the fridge. You can do it overnight as well.
Yeah.
And then you put it on top of your barbecue.
Okay, but do you alternate it with some veggies and stuff, or just
no.
Pure just chicken?
Just chicken, pure chicken. Or you can use other meat like beef if you
beef
like.
Also. Okay.
Yeah, usually it's either beef or chicken, and maybe something not for the local is they actually use intestine as well.
Oh, tell me some vegetarian version. Is it tofu? What?
It'll be tofu if you use the hardened. Yeah, those hardened
hard tofu.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for the sauce, easy way is actually to use peanut butter sauce.
Peanut butter sauce.
Then you add a little bit of curry powder.
Yeah.
A little bit of chili powder just to make it a little bit spicy. Yes. And also for the, we also use onion.
Onions.
And
this is raw
cucumber.
Onions.
Raw onions and cucumber. So that when you dip the satay into the sauce, if you want a bit of vegetables, that's where the onion
so
and...
So you grate onions and cucumber?
No, you cut it almost the same bite size as
okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the sauce. It goes in the sauce, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And peanut butter sauce, as you said. So you're using the peanut butter sauce? Or
the crunchy one.
The crunchy one.
Okay. Yeah, crunchy. That's the easy way to make it. Otherwise, you will have to use those peanuts. Peanuts, actually, you brown the peanuts, cook it, and then crush it.
Make it from scratch, your own.
Yes, that's another way to do it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So
amazing.
For me, I'm the lazy one.
Yeah, easy one.
Yeah, and it tastes equally good as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you hear that, Richard? So when are you making that and inviting YY and myself, please?
Yeah, we can be.
Thank you, YY, for sharing your culinary wisdom with us. So YY, before you sign off, I'd like to, do you have any... advice or anything you'd like to share with our with people who are just migrating, you know, some migrants who are new to our country?
What I would really like to share is it actually takes time to assimilate our lifestyle into the local lifestyle, and it requires a lot of perseverance and a lot of mutual understanding between you and your partner and the family. So that when we come to a foreign country, we have to adapt to so many things, lifestyle, food, you know, even our emotions sometimes can go crazy.
It can be a culture shock as well. Yes.
And a culture shock as well, as you mentioned. And so it's really important that we have the same mindset to work in unity as a family to make it happen. To make it a success for everybody.
Yes.
And for that to really build up the resilience, that with the determination that this is where we choose to come and this is where we want to live.
Yeah.
So with that unity among the family members, it's also one of the stepping stone to create a harmonious family.
Talking about the harmonious family, I am aware that you are also a senior leader for the SGI, you know, the Soka Gakkai International?
Yes. It's a Buddhist organization. Yes. Based on the principles of peace, culture, and education. And also...
It's not a religious organization, but it's just a...
It's actually based on the Buddhist movement.
Okay.
Based on Buddhist teaching.
Sure.
And we work a lot for world peace. That's where we come in, like how important it is.
So it's trying to bring the communities together.
Yes.
That's the main purpose of having peace and harmony.
Yes, and also like provide a support group, you know, especially for new immigrants.
Sure.
And members who come from overseas. Yeah, that's one, a place where we can gather together.
All walks of life, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Beautiful. Thank you, YY, and just keep up the good work. Thank you so much, YY, for joining us today. And I really appreciate you coming here to Planet FM and sharing your stories with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.